Time to check out what Peter Dykstra has unearthed beyond the headlines now. Peter's with Environmental Health News, that's EHN.org and thedailyclimate.org, and is on the line from Conyers, Georgia. Hi, Peter. What do you got?
Well, hi, Steve. You know what? I have some good news. There's a paper from Carnegie Mellon University that says that in the year 2011 alone, air pollution related to U.S. energy production cost at least $131 billion in health and environmental impacts.
Wait a second. That's supposed to be good news?
Yeah, it's good news because that same report placed the cost much higher at $175 billion back in 2002. All of this, of course, is an educated guess, but the researchers tried to tally up the real costs of oil refineries, coal mining, electric generation, and oil and gas extraction.
But I'd think that the growth of the domestic oil and gas production from fracking would have driven those numbers up instead of down by 2011.
Well, bear in mind there are some other factors, like the economic downturn in 2008, the move away from coal, and there may have been many other things that helped to negate that.
Well, what do you have next for us?
Dare I bring a little more good news?
Well, by all means, please.
There's a study from the Scripps Oceanographic Institute that says that levels of potential carcinogens like mercury, DDT, and PCBs are at their lowest levels in 40 years in ocean fish.
Whoa, how did that happen?
The Scripps researchers pointed out what might be obvious: stronger laws, public pressure, and better corporate conduct, whether that was voluntary or otherwise. They've all helped to bring about some positive news.
But is all this fishy news all positive?
Yeah, it's a good one, Steve. All positive news in an environmental show. The Scripps researchers warned that many wild fish are still unsafe for human consumption, and that's no surprise. But they also said that smaller fish, often presumed to be safer than the fish at the top of the food chain, may in some cases be no safer at all.
Well, hey, what do you have for us from the History Vaults this week?
Well, we're into the political season big time now, and 4 years ago this week, Donald Trump faced off with Scotland and their battle over a wind farm hit a fever pitch. Trump was livid over a proposal for 11 wind turbines to be built offshore from his billion-dollar golf resort near Aberdeen. He said Scotland's first minister, that's sort of the CEO of Scotland, Alex Salmon, would be remembered for centuries as the man who destroyed Scotland.
Rather like those various English kings and generals, huh?
Correct, and Trump might have fancied himself as Braveheart, defending Scotland by tilting at the threat of the windmills. Anyway, Trump waged a no-holds-barred court battle against the menace of wind power, which he saw as an environmental scourge that would taint the beauty of the golf course he had been plowing into the Scottish countryside. And with two final court defeats last year, the Trump battle against Scotland is over, and Scotland won.
And by the way, where do things stand now with the golf course and the wind farm?
Well, I'm sure that many of our listeners will be pleased to know that the golf course is open and that the green fees are only about $220 for 18 holes. Discounts are available if you're a loser. And yeah, he named the golf course after himself. It's the Trump International Golf Links. As for the wind farm, it's still several years off.
And everyone's moved on?
Not before Alex Salmon tore a page from the Trump playbook and called the Donald a three-time loser for his string of legal defeats. Trump responded by calling the now former first minister a has-been, which is technically correct because he has been out of office for almost 2 years. And when the UK Parliament threatened to ban Trump over his anti-Islamic comments, Trump threatened to pull out of the golf project entirely.
You know, I always thought that someone was supposed to take the high road in Scotland.
Everybody's taking the low road on this one.
Peter Dykstra's with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and thedailyclimate.org. Talk to you soon, Peter.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories at our website, LOE.org.